Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening in to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Appreciate everybody for listening in. Reminder, please subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. As soon as we punch out a podcast, you'll have it. Boom. Just that easy. Just that quick. Makes it nice and easy. Of course, you can find us online at BetweenTheRopes.com. And also, go to YouTube as well. We've got our live broadcast there and some video interviews as well. You can find that. Just go to YouTube.com/BetweenTheRopes. Two interviews coming up on this podcast. Coming up later on, Ring of Honor star Adam Cole. He's got a couple of big matches coming up as Ring of Honor will have shows in Philadelphia on Friday, August the 21st. Then the following night, they'll be in Brooklyn for the big Field of Honor show. But first, Tough Enough. Once again, every week, I speak with whoever got eliminated from Tough Enough. And this week, it was Gigi. They're down to the final six, and she made one slight mistake, earned her a spot in the bottom three. She got that little kiss of death from Daniel Bryan, and next thing you know, she did not get the votes, and she is gone for the show. So here is my conversation with Gigi from Tough Enough.
Hello, how are you?
Good. By the way, I have a message for you.
Okay, shoot.
It comes from Chris Jericho, who said, tell her I thought she did great and not to give up.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, everyone has been so great. I got a message from Billy as well last night, and I said goodbye to Lita at the show. I'm sad to leave everybody.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to hear you laughing today rather than all the crying that went on last night during the show.
I know. I'm such an emotional wreck.
But that's okay.
I can't help it. I'm just like that. Me and my dad are the same. We get very passionate about things, and then we just cry.
But I think that's a good thing, because that's a way that helps connect with people and shows that you're
exactly.
Genuine. You're not afraid of showing your emotions.
Exactly. It shows how passionate I am about this and how bad I wanted it. So it's a good thing, I guess.
You know, once you got picked by Daniel Bryan to be in the bottom three, did you realize that was a kiss of death considering his track record on the show?
That did cross my mind. It did. I thought going in, especially to the bottom three with Sarah and Tana, I knew that they had a good fan base. So I thought as soon as I got put in the bottom three, I thought, oh God, this is it, Georgia. You're going home.
Well, it was weird, too, because I think a lot of people, I think everybody did a good job when it came to their matches and the experience you guys have. But I think the match that you and Tanner had, I think a lot of people were surprised that you got picked to be in the bottom three. And part of it was because just the way that the match went down and the reaction you were supposed to get from the crowd. Were you told in advance, or did you know going into that match, like, you're going to be the baby face, play it up, things like that?
No, so we knew what story we were going to tell. We knew that he was the heel. We knew that he was going to win. So, yeah, we didn't speak about our announcements in the ring, like being announced how we should act. And I honestly didn't even think, because I like playing in the ring. I like playing a heel. I like playing the bitchy boss kind of girl, you know. I like having that sass and being a bit funny with it. But that automatically came to me when Chris Jericho said, announce my name. I kind of just put on that character, and then I thought, oh no, like, no, that's not what I'm playing right now. I'm meant to be playing the baby face. And so I switched straight away when the match started to the other character, but it was too late. I'd already been announced, so it was my mistake. But yeah, I don't think that should have cost me the competition, to be honest with you. I know I've done incredibly well with all the challenges that I've won. But coming out of this, I don't regret anything, because I know that I was the strongest girl competitor, hands down. I won the most challenges out of the guys and the girls, and I really picked everything up fast. I really do think I have the full package. I don't just have one element, but what I didn't have in this competition was the fans. I didn't have the votes. And I was talking to someone about it the other day. I think it could have to do with the fact that I'm from Australia. I don't know. I don't have that American fan base. But we'll work on it.
What's not to like about Australians? I mean, there's a lot of popular Australians in the world right now. Who doesn't like Hugh Jackman?
I've had lots of Twitter posts saying that my accent annoys people.
Really?
And I'm like, well, I can't control the way my voice sounds. I'm sorry.
Does this mean that people don't like the Hemsworth brothers either? I mean, come on.
Exactly, right? But I think people in the UK, like lots of my family there and supporters there, it's like 2 a.m. in the morning when the voting goes live. So people, not as many people were tuning in live. They were just watching the show later. So the live voting element, I think, is what got me, especially in Australia too. It's in the middle of a working day. Not many people can stop for that. So, yeah, I think they are factors to why I didn't have the votes up.
But it just it goes to show, though, that because now you're down to the final six, and it comes down to everybody's got a nitpick. There's got to be just the smallest things mean so much at this point. And unfortunately for you, it was, you know, getting put in the bottom three by someone nitpicking at this point, and then you getting sent home because of the votes.
And we all feel that pressure, too. It really is. It's built and built and built over the course of the last 8 weeks. But at the moment, everyone's scared to make a move, to be honest with you, like, because we know what it's like now. They are nitpicking at everything. And one bad move, one wrong comment will get you put in the bottom three and have the universe voting against you.
Well, tell me, how much fun was it to be in the ring and have that match? Because you seem to be taking a lot of joy in tossing Tanner around.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so lucky that Paige saved me last week, so I got the chance to do that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have even had the chance to do the storytelling challenge. But I was kind of excited when I was put with Tanner. I thought, this would be a good challenge for me. I know that he has the skill, the physicality, and I felt comfortable working with him. I felt pretty badass hip-tossing him, to be honest with you. That was a great moment when the crowd cheered, especially in front of the NXT guys. It was awesome.
It's funny watching Tough Talk and, hearing everybody, go back and forth and you talking about being eliminated. And you had, one of the things I had mentioned, I believe, was you had said that you knew Amanda going into the competition. How did you know her?
Yeah, so we weren't friends. We just knew of each other. So we both come from a fitness modeling background. And last year I competed at Worlds in Las Vegas as a pro bikini model. And she was in that competition as well. So we didn't get a chance to speak during that, but our paths crossed again. So I think we were meant to be friends, to be honest with you.
Here's the big question. Who finished higher in that competition?
Oh, you don't want to know. Gosh.
Uh-oh.
It was Amanda.
Really?
So Amanda is the world bikini champion at the moment. So she was first place on the pro stage, and I actually came fourth. So, yeah, not a bad effort by me. See, it was my second competition, but she's beat me again. God damn it.
Well, I haven't been keeping up on my bikini competition, but as a red-blooded male, I probably should be doing that right now. but fourth is not bad. Fourth in the world, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, fourth in the world is not bad. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit more about your background, because you had a background in gymnastics, and then you also did, correct me if I'm wrong, but you did competitive cheerleading as well?
Yes, that's correct. I did that for a couple of years. I did gymnastics for the longest. I did that for 8 years, and I did cheerleading for about four. I've been to America twice before this show, and that was to compete for cheerleading in Vegas, and then again for that WBFF world competition. So every time I've been here, it's to compete something.
Have you got to do any sightseeing since you've been in the U.S.?
I've done a bit. I went to Universal. Does that count?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to go to Universal Studios, so you got to go to the theme park. Any Disney World?
Not Disney World, no. Oh. Just Universal. I really wanted to go see Harry Potter World because I'm a huge Harry Potter fan.
Oh, well, that could be a day right there because they've got that in both sides of the park now.
Exactly, and we did. We did both parks. And you know what? Lisa came with us. Amy came with us for the day.
Nice. Did you go on the train ride to go back and forth between the parks?
Yes, the Hogwarts Express. We did.
See, I live here, and I'm spoiled. I have a pass to go to the parks. So.
Oh, and you don't use it?
Oh, of course I use it.
Oh, good.
Yes, got to take advantage of it while you got it. You're living in the area, you got to have a pass to the parks. So when exactly do you have to go back to Australia?
I'm actually flying back tonight.
Ooh.
So soon. But I'm here on a temporary working visa with the WWE, so it ends soon. So I'm going to have to go home and find the closest wrestling school and get to work.
I was going to say, they couldn't fudge it for a few extra days so you can, you know, do a little bit more sightseeing and enjoy the U.S. in advance?
You know what? Like, I've been in Orlando for 10 weeks now, so I've seen Orlando anyway. But I'm excited to go home and see my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters, my puppies. I do. It's the longest I've ever been away from home, so I am eager to get back to see them and get back into routine.
And that's the thing, too, that I don't think a lot of people realize, including myself, is that everybody is so used to a routine. And when you get away from that, you realize how much you miss the things that were a part of your routine. I can only imagine
the little things like a shower and a double bed.
Right. That single cot does not look that comfortable every night.
Exactly. And in the barracks, we didn't even have a stove, so I couldn't even cook. So I've not been eating very well since I've been here. So I've got a little bit of a gut.
Well, see, that's totally against what should be going on, because they should be helping you, you know, when it comes to eating well and making sure that you'd be ready to be, you know, an athlete.
Yeah. Well,
and Chris Jericho didn't help matters by bringing pizza, okay, and the alcohol.
No, not at all. He did not. I've got to stay away from alcohol because, I'm not a big drinker, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not either. So, yeah, that's the quick way to get into trouble. I mean, we all saw that look on Tanner's face. So
exactly. He was done.
Yes.
I thought they weren't even going to wake him up for the challenge. He was lucky he got woken up.
Has anybody reached out to you yet about a wrestling school, whether it's in Australia or anywhere else?
I've been tagged in a couple of things on Twitter. I haven't had a chance to look into it, but everyone is very supportive, and they want me to continue my journey, and it's definitely going to happen. I know of a place back in Brisbane. A friend of mine goes there, and the guy who is coaching there, he's actually been to Japan and done a lot of wrestling over there, so he's very, very experienced, and he has had a shot with the WWE before, so he's excited to get me in the ring and show me everything that he knows.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity. I'm glad that you're sticking with it. You're keeping a positive attitude about everything and enjoy the experience on the show. And I'm glad you got to go to Universal Studios and see Harry Potter as well.
Yeah, it was amazing. Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Definitely you will. Thank you for your time.
Nice conversation there with Gigi from Tough Enough fame. I don't find her voice that annoying. I don't know. Do you find her voice annoying? Do you not like Australians? Maybe there's going to be some that you don't like the voice of. I thought she was perfectly fine. So we'll see exactly what happens next for her in her wrestling career. And like she said, she plans on training more once she gets back home to Australia. Thanks to everybody that is supporting Between the Ropes on Patreon. Want to get that out there. If you haven't yet and you would like to, go to patreon.com/between the ropes. Even as little as $1 a month helps us out. We've got bills to pay. I want to do more when it comes to Between the Ropes, but you know what? I got to pay those bills, and that means I can't dedicate as much time as I'll always want to. I try to give as much time as I can, but if you help us out, you help support us, It means I can spend more time on Between the Ropes, and it makes sure that the site and the podcast and the videos, they all keep going. So that helps us out. If you like what we do, and I'm assuming that you do because you're listening right now, that means you see value in what we do. And I'm hoping that you will then decide to pledge to Between the Ropes and support us there monetarily on Patreon, whether it's $1 a month, $5, even more. We have different things set up to where you'll get different things based on how much you pledge on a month-to-month basis. So if you can help us out, that would be fantastic. I appreciate it. Once again, it's patreon.com/betweentheropes. Now, Ring of Honor, couple of big shows coming up. Friday, August 21st, part of the Aftershock Tour, they will be in Philadelphia, the old ECW Arena. Adam Cole is going to be taking on New Japan Pro Wrestling star Nakamura. Then the following night, Ring of Honor will be in Brooklyn, head-to-head against NXT. It will be their Field of Honor show, another huge match for Adam Cole as he'll be taking on Christopher Daniels. Adam is one of my favorite people to talk to. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. Tremendous talent, great guy. Here's my talk with Adam Cole. It's always great to catch up with a Ring of Honor star, Adam Cole, who actually has some time to catch up. So how'd you get so much downtime right now, Adam?
Well, as a matter of fact, this is crazy, but since I've been back from my shoulder, tricep, and elbow surgery that I got, I have been just on the go like crazy. But here over these past couple weeks, I've had a ton of downtime, which has been amazing. It's been cool to just kind of recap everything and recuperate because, as a matter of fact, I just moved into a new place. So, like, getting the entire place all situated while having some time off has just been so perfect and so awesome. So I had to take advantage of this and speak with you today, Brian.
Isn't that the worst, though, having to move and just everything that goes into that?
Yeah, it can be a hassle. Fortunately for me, I moved, like, 10 minutes from where I was living at the time. It was from an apartment complex now to an actual house that I'm renting with my younger brother and then a guy that I actually started training with. So we have a cool little, I guess you could call it a bachelor pad.
Nice.
But, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a cool process of all of us living together and moving in. And like I said, the timing couldn't have been any more perfect. Like you had said, moving is never a blast. You know, you never look forward to it. But it wasn't so bad this time.
Since he's your younger brother, did you make him do a lot more of the heavy lifting?
No, see, me, I had to show off for my younger brother. I had to show him that I was the older brother, so I did a lot of the heavy lifting, and I have to constantly remind him that I'm a professional wrestler, so I did quite a bit. But I'll tell you what, he held his own, though, I'll tell you that, with the couches and cabinets and things like that. So he's a tough guy.
Is there a good sibling rivalry between the two of you?
No, actually, I'll tell you what, there's me and my brother get along. At least I feel, and again, I'm being very biased because it's my own relationship with my brother, but I feel like we get along better than most brothers do. Me and him went through a lot together when we were kids, and fortunately, we've stayed really, really close. He's very supportive of me being a wrestler. I'm very supportive of what he does. So actually, there's not too much rivalry. Of course, there's a competitive nature that comes out when we, play, say, video games. But other than that, we get along just fine, and we're really supportive of each other.
Well, that's a natural when you're playing games with anybody. What kind of games do you guys play against? Is it like sporting games, or is it other things?
Well, he tries to get me to play a lot of the sports games, but I actually, ever since I was little, I've never liked them. I've never liked Madden. I've never liked NBA games or FIFA, which is like a big soccer game, I guess. But I really like playing him in, like, Halo or, like, Mortal Kombat. He wins 99% of the time. But every now and then I get real lucky and get one up over on him. So I'm just going to keep trying until I can win, like, 2 out of 100 times. He's amazing at video games. He's so good.
I like that you say FIFA, it's a soccer game, I guess. And I'm like, it's only FIFA.
You can tell what kind of sports fan I am.
I know you are.
Based on that.
It's not like I'm having Michael Bennett on here to break down Deflategate up with the Patriots, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, honest to God, too, because I've got asked this before. As far as sports go, really the only thing that I follow is UFC and MMA. that's pretty much it. Like other than that, it's just it's pro wrestling through and through, and then like television shows and movies. But I never got crazy into sports. I never did.
Well, on that front, are you amazed by how big of a, not just person, but a thing Ronda Rousey has become when it comes to her identity and what she means right now in sports and just as a woman in society?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that too, because I was just talking to a friend the other night about this. And honest to God, I think when we are, I don't know, like say 40, 50 years from now, I think Ronda will really, truly be appreciated for what she's done as far as just bringing this whole new light when it comes literally to women athletes and women figures. I mean, she's main eventing UFC cards. She's, I don't know if this is for sure, but isn't she one of, if not the, you know, top grossing athlete in the UFC?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing. It's been so cool to watch her evolve and adapt to this environment. I've been a big fan of hers for years. So to see how truly appreciated she has been as an athlete and as a person. Like there are things about her too, and things that she says, and empowering women or just empowering people in general, just saying you can do anything you want, has been really cool. Ronda's a once in a lifetime kind of person.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's going to be amazing when that time comes. I think eventually it will. I don't know if it's going to be a year from now, 2 years ago, 2 years from now, whenever it might be, but she seems hell-bent that she wants to get involved in wrestling more than that, just that little taste that she got at WrestleMania. And I just that kind of star to want to be able to go into wrestling, I think that's going to be pretty incredible when that time happens.
Yeah, yeah. I think Ronda, actually, as a matter of fact, because I do have a theory on why I feel and I genuinely feel that pro wrestling is in the process of almost hitting another boom period, and I think there are multiple factors into this. Number one, not involving Ronda. I think there is, like, there very much now is a hipster trend of liking things that aren't normally liked. And pro wrestling certainly fell in that category. It was never a popular topic to talk about. It was never something that people came out and openly discussed as far as, oh, did you guys catch Monday Night Raw last night? That was never a thing. So I think it's cool for some people to like things that are kind of against the grain or something that people don't necessarily follow. But second, coming off of that, is the fact that so many UFC fighters, specifically Ronda Rousey, their biggest star, has gone public and saying how much she appreciates and how much she loves pro wrestling. I think that gave those guys that maybe wore their Affliction t-shirts and thought they were real tough and said, oh, pro wrestling, that fake bullcrap, that word that we hate so much. And then having the toughest men and women on the planet saying how much they love pro wrestling has kind of changed the public's perception about what we do and how, you know, difficult it really is. And when it's done well, it's just the coolest thing in the world. So I think Ronda has drastically helped that.
And I think another thing in that trend is when we talk about wrestling right now, that more so than I can remember in the past, I don't think size matters as much because people appreciate right. The athleticism now more than ever.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. You know, I'm not just saying this because, you know, I'm an employee of Ring of Honor Wrestling, but I think you can go back to guys like Daniel Bryan and guys like CM Punk, where when they came into the WWE and they took the WWE by storm, whether that was by design or not, the fans decided that these are their guys. This is what they enjoy to watch. These are the kind of matches they enjoy. These are the kind of promos they enjoy. So I really think that Punk and Bryan, again, when we kind of fast forward to the future, I think will be looked at as very big catalysts to the new movement of wrestling fans wanting genuine, born and bred, live for this professional wrestlers. Because since they came onto the scene, it's like, the match quality that the casual WWE fan expects is much higher than it used to be in, say, 2005 or 2006. I think more now than ever that size is not an issue, and it's more so about your wrestling ability inside the ring.
And that's one of the things that, you know, we watch Raw, and it's a three-hour show, and people can say it can be so long, and how are they going to fill it up? And to me, it's like, you know what? They found this trend recently where, how about we just have good wrestling matches with good talent that we have? And a lot of that is guys that have come through Ring of Honor, because we're seeing Kevin Owens, we're seeing Cesaro, we're seeing Seth Rollins, we're seeing these guys go out there. And I mean, it's not like they're, you know, doing 30 or 40 minute matches, but for a show like that to get, you know, 20 minutes and to be able to show off your stuff is incredible. And people are buying into it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it comes down to what you said too. I think, you know, them having a 3-hour Monday Night Raw, they realized, like, okay, to fill time up again, you know, people are tuning in to watch wrestling. So let's have the wrestling matches a little bit longer and a little bit more exciting and, you know, filled with more drama. So I think almost in this circumstance, they had no choice but to make the matches longer. But in turn, the wrestling fans and even people who are just WWE fans or people who are maybe interested in checking out pro wrestling, I think getting longer matches is always the way to go. Like for me as a fan, and don't get me wrong, obviously I was a diehard wrestling fan when I was younger. But to me, it's like, it's so weird. It's almost like the second that a match goes over 20 minutes, that's when it has the chance to really be something special. Because it's the same idea, too, with your favorite television shows or your favorite movies. Generally speaking, as far as movies go, the ones that you think of as epic or really amazing or something that has a really big grasp on you, generally speaking, are over 2 hours long. Because it takes longer to tell that story. And it takes longer for you to become captivated by the characters and the progression of what's going on. So I think the longer that a match is, in that sense, the more that fans can connect to that idea of feeling like they're witnessing something special. Of course, you can go too long. You know, we've seen that time and time again. But I think there is like that magic number of anything over 20 minutes is really something really special.
You're a product of the Attitude Era as well. So how much does that still play into what you do right now when it comes to your career and where you're at right now?
Yeah, that's a great question because, like you had said, like I became a fan in the Attitude Era back when every single guy was just treated like an absolute star, which was so, so cool. But the biggest thing really as far as me playing off anything that like Attitude Era-wise, it was pretty much two things. Number one is the guys then were edgier. And I think there are ways that you can be edgy in a PG era without using cuss words or without being really sexually explicit or anything like that. Of course, it worked so well in that era and it was so well done because that's kind of how television was being produced at that time. But I think there are ways to be edgy and find things that you can do where people think that, this is not supposed to happen or, oh, this is exciting. But really, my biggest thing was, I remember, like I said, watching wrestling at that point in my life, was everyone really, you know, carried and acted like a star. Because my big thing, too, my first wrestling event that I ever went to was a house show in Hershey, Pennsylvania in November of 1999. And at that time, the house show, the New Age Outlaws main evented the show. Stone Cold Steve Austin was not there. The Undertaker was not there. The Rock was not there. Mick Foley was not there. The New Age Outlaws main evented the show, and the building was sold out, and people were jacked up, and they were all excited. Because, again, each and every person on that show walked, talked, and acted like a main event superstar. So I always try to remember that, like whether I'm the opening act on a show or the main event on the show, I try to act and carry myself like a star at all times. And I think the guys in the Attitude Era did that very well.
And plus, when you're on the road, it's not like you're showing up in, not that there's anything necessarily wrong with it, but you're not a guy that shows up with jeans and a t-shirt typically, are you?
Right. No. That was kind of instilled in me early on from a lot of different influences, a lot of the way that guys had suggested carrying themselves. I know I did. It was like the first seminar that I did was a John Bradshaw Layfield seminar. And it literally in the seminar, he just talked and said a lot of different things. And I'm sure that guys realize this, but it's amazing the influence you have on guys when you talk to guys who are just starting off in wrestling. And I'll never forget, I was jotting notes down. I still have the notebook. But he had said so many times, if you want to be treated like you're important, if you want to act like you're important, you need to dress like you're important. And I don't know, that resonated with me so well. So I've always been a guy that I feel dresses appropriately for the job. There's something weird, whether it be that you're a car salesman or you work in a cube or you're a professional wrestler or you're a pro athlete or whatever, dressing the part and showing up to work like you're ready to go really sets you in a completely different state of mind. So that's something that really, really stuck with me and something that I still abide by today.
And it's funny because you've already had a very good career, but you're still only 26. And I look at it and say, you're very mature for your age. And I started thinking about this going, okay, so that means that you were born in 1989. I am an old man compared to you then, because as a teenager, 1989 was probably my favorite year as a wrestling fan, watching the NWA and seeing Ric Flair start off the year against Ricky Steamboat and finish the year in a feud with Terry Funk. I'm old compared to you, Adam.
Hey, old is just a number. It's just a state of mind, man. That's it.
Do you watch a lot of wrestling from then, or have you, or have you, or is that something that there's still a lot of stuff that you still want to watch?
Oh yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Like when I was when I first started watching wrestling, I became like a super fan when I was like 9 years old. So this was like 1999, 2000, and I was so naive because I thought the only wrestling that existed was the WWF at the time. But then when I got into middle school and early high school, that was when I first had access to the internet. So then I found all about the independents, all about international promotions, and I did a lot of backtracking. I watched a lot of NWA. I watched a ton of World Class. I even had to play catch up on ECW because at the time, this is right when ECW was kind of fizzling out, and WCW as well. But yeah, I was definitely someone that played a ton of catch up. I loved wrestling. I still love wrestling. Like, you know, I have the WWE Network. I swear, like when I do chores around the house, I just have the network on, just to have it on in the background, because you never know what you're going to see or what you're going to watch that kind of catches your eye. But yeah, definite. I guess you could call it student of the game. You know, I really enjoy watching everything that I can get my hands on.
Well, I mentioned the whole thing about how you're very mature for your age, and I think there's more people like yourself in wrestling right now, especially when it comes to, you know, I see some of the guys in NXT, definitely some of the guys in Ring of Honor. What do you think that is?
The maturity thing?
Yeah, and it seems like guys are a little bit more grounded now.
Yeah, I guess I kind of play it into the fact that if you're in an intelligent individual, or you observe things in any way, I think fortunately for us, and this goes on like generation to generation, and don't get me wrong, of course, there are scenarios where kids are spoiled or kids feel entitled or anything like that. But I think for our specific generation, as far as wrestlers go, is we've learned certain mistakes that maybe guys in our past have done. And we found out things that we need to do to make ourselves better and maybe not make those same mistakes. Like, you know, I made this joke before, like where, you know, back in the 80s when everyone was just doing drugs or doing whatever they could, it was mainly because they didn't know the repercussions of what were to come of doing those things. Now, our generation kind of has no excuse. It's like we know what has happened in the past. We know what can happen in the past. And we know what we have to do to advance ourselves and make ourselves better and maybe not make those same mistakes. And the generation after us will learn from the mistakes that we make here in this generation, and hopefully they'll be even better. So I think it's just learning from the past and paying attention to everything that everyone's doing. But I think that's the best bet as far as making yourselves better, because I'm convinced that the generation after us will be even better. You know, they'll be even more amazing. And then the generation after them will be even better than that too. So hopefully that mindset and that stride continues for future wrestlers in the past. But I think it's just, you know, learning. It's just paying attention.
Yeah, and I find it kind of ironic that we talk about, you know, guys in the past get in trouble. Like you said, it'd be some drinking. You go out to the bar, you get in a fight. I mean, just you never know what can happen. And we look at guys today and we say, wow, they're more mature. They're more grounded. Why is that? Oh, they're playing video games and they're on social media. Wait, what?
Exactly.
But you're doing stuff that's going to take you out of a situation where there could be trouble.
Sure. Totally. And that's exactly what you said. There's more things to keep your mind busy. You know, back then it was like, okay, what do we do to keep ourselves entertained? There were a lot less choices. you know, now there are a lot more choices of things to do and environments to put yourself in where maybe you won't get in, you know, as much trouble. So, but, you know, of course, you know, the wrestlers still enjoy going out and having a drink and having a good time and things like that. But I think, like I said, it's just an environment where, and really, too, there's a lot less tolerance for things like that, too. Like, whereas before, I think you could really, at least it seems that way when I hear stories from, you know, veterans of the past who paved the way for us. I think the leniency back then of things that you could get away with, and things you could do were just so, so different. You know, whereas now things are a lot more strict.
And you can't hide anything. Everybody's got a camera. Everybody's got their
phone. Exactly.
So there's a lot more repercussions. By the way, I'm kind of convinced with so many different guys for so many different wrestling promotions, all playing video games now, there's like this secret underground network where you're all playing against one another.
That may exist. Unfortunately, I'm not involved in that network.
Mm.
But that's very, very possible.
You mentioned your shoulder injury that you came back from earlier this year. So is that the first major injury that you've had so far in your career?
Yeah, definitely. The first major injury in the sense of me having to take any kind of serious time off. But before that, it was concussions. I had a big problem with concussions kind of early in my career. The last real bad one I had was in 2013, where I had to miss approximately like 3 weeks of action. You know, I was just completely out. But other than that, no. You know, I've been very blessed as far as avoiding injury. But really what had happened was I had some fracturing in my elbow and a partial tear in my tricep pretty much a week after I won the Ring of Honor World Championship. So, of course, I was not going to take any time off because I was just about to have this great run with the ROH title. And then I said, okay, you know, I'll get this fixed once I lose the championship. That time came around, but I was still feeling okay. So I was like, you know, I'm not going to take any time off. I ended up dislocating my shoulder on the same arm that my elbow and tricep was bothering me, and I tore my labrum. So then I couldn't weight train anymore. I was having trouble sleeping. And, you know, I finally told them that, you know, I'm going to have to take some time off and get this all fixed. So I got all three surgeries done at once. And I'm very thankful I did, you know, based on how I feel now as opposed to how I felt back then.
How worried were you coming back from an injury like that? Because, I mean, you never know how things are going to be. You know, you assume everything's going to be fine. But did any of that cross your mind, like, could something be different, or could this be something that happens again with my arm and I have to be worried about it?
Yeah, I wasn't so much worried about me physically, but mentally I was very worried. You know, certainly there was that fear right off the bat. Like, it's so funny. I remember I watched a Triple H VHS when I was a kid where he tore his quadricep and he came back and he said in an interview that he was afraid that, you know, no one would care. Like, are people going to care about me? Are they going to care, you know, that I've come back after missing all this time? And I remember as a kid thinking, what are you, crazy? You're Triple H. Of course they're going to care. Like, why would you ever think that? Well, his thoughts are completely right, because I had the exact same thoughts. I thought, oh, when I come back, are people even really going to care? Is it going to matter? Did they forget me? Like, all those things go through your head. It's crazy when you're just sitting at home. And then for me specifically, I had the craziest scare ever because I was rehabbing like really hard, like three times a day. And then 2 weeks before I was supposed to come back, I had a really bad mishap with my shoulder where I woke up and I couldn't move it quite as good. It was swollen. And my doctor was like, yeah, we're not sure if you're going to be able to come back when you want to, which is the big reason that my return match against AJ Styles, it was announced as AJ having a mystery opponent. Because initially that was supposed to be me from the gate, but because of my injury, they kind of put it on the back burner. And this is a true story. I know Dave Meltzer reported it, and it's completely true. I was cleared the Monday on that Tuesday to be able to wrestle AJ. So I found out less than 24 hours that I was going to be returning the next night. Because, you know, part of me mentally, too, was like, oh, this is going to happen. Is it going to happen? I don't want to get my hopes up. So the emotional roller coaster that I was on when I came back to wrestle AJ Styles in Philadelphia was, we had quite a few ups and downs, but I could not be happier being back I just don't feel like the same person when I'm sitting at home not doing anything. So I'm really, really happy that I'm back in action.
It's so weird that you have this mindset of, are people going to care when I come back? And I think from a fan standpoint, fans are sitting going, we can't wait for Adam Cole to come back.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I said, the mind games that you play with yourself. Because fortunately for me too, and my fans, whether I see them in person, meet them at meet and greets, or perform in front of them, or even on the internet, it was amazing how supportive everybody was. And someone told me, they said, try not to stress too much about this injury, because you may not realize it, but you being away may be the best thing that ever happened to you in your career. Because out of sight, out of mind, you've been wrestling 7 years, and you've never been away, so now they have a chance to miss you. And I didn't believe that for a second. But now that I've experienced it, it's amazing how true that is. Like, the fans, since I've been back, have just been absolutely incredible. They've been so, so supportive, and that's something I'll never, ever forget. It's been really, really cool.
So now you can't wait to take your next 3 months off, hopefully just not for an injury.
No, please. Hopefully those next 3 months off aren't for another 30 years.
Yeah. So
that would be, that'd be terrible.
When it came to the issues that you had with concussions, did you do anything in the ring differently, or can you even try to do anything in the ring differently? Because, I mean, this has been something that's been talked about a lot more lately, especially because of the issues that Daniel Bryan has dealt with.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, for the most part, generally speaking, there's really not too much that you can do to avoid getting, you know, knocked out or getting a concussion, because there's so many dangers to what we do for a living that, you know, the chance of you getting hurt, whether you really try hard or not, are always there. However, there are certainly things that I've done as far as maybe it be eliminating certain things that I used to do, maybe even going as far as to saying eliminating certain bumps that I used to do, that really kind of backed up into the fact that, you know, I was getting knocked out. So knock on wood, fortunately for me, I've been okay for the past couple of years, and hopefully it continues that way. But sometimes, like I said, there will be a kick there that literally is an inch or two difference that could give you a concussion or not. So I do all that I can, but at the same time, I don't really worry about it either. Like, I'm very aware that this is a job where you can get concussed and you can get hurt. I know I will be hurt again. I know that I won't be injury free for the rest of my career, but that's the last thing that I think about, because for me, just the pros of being in the pro wrestling business far outweigh the cons.
He's got to stay away from those super kicks from the Young Bucks.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Avoid those at all costs.
Did you see where they did super kicks on a 7-year old?
I did. It just amazes me how the Young Bucks continue to just be a total household name with whatever they do. And for me personally, too, because I'm good, close personal friends with the Young Bucks. It's so cool for me to see them do as well as they're doing, because, you know, guys like me and guys like yourself have been fans and admired their work for a really long time. So it's really cool to see how popular that they've become, because they're just such an exciting act.
So you and Ring of Honor have a couple of big shows coming up here. So Friday, August 21st, the Aftershock Tour in Philly, it's going to be you against Nakamura. And then the following night, Field of Honor in Brooklyn, you're going to be taking on Christopher Daniels. So the show on Friday, obviously that's old ECW Arena. What's it like working in that building?
It's huge for me. Now, you know, not only because the building has so much of a legacy inside of it and so much history, but because I actually trained in the ECW arena. Like, Combat Zone Wrestling at the time had their training facility there. So the first time I ever stepped into a ring was there. My very first wrestling match was in the ECW arena. I had some of my biggest matches early on in my career in the ECW arena. I got to come back from shoulder surgery after being out for 5 months, questioning whether or not the fans were going to care, and then having a totally fun match with AJ Styles in that building. So now getting the chance to wrestle Nakamura in Philadelphia, the same city I won the ROH World title, is amazing. Like, me and Philadelphia, just we gel and we click. And I've had, like I said, some of my most important and some of my most exciting moments of my career in that building. So to get the chance to wrestle pretty much the number one wrestler in the world is pretty awesome for me. I'm really excited.
How much different is that building, do you know, of from over the years? Because back in the day, the story was so much history from the fans, but it's a pure dump.
Right. Yeah, it used to be a dump. I mean, obviously, I never worked back in the ECW days, but back in 2007, 2008, for Combat Zone Wrestling, it was not it was not a good building in the sense of locker rooms and things like that. But now, I mean, it looks great. I love it now. It's certainly a giant upgrade from what it used to be. The lighting looks great. The fans are just as wild. So definitely a big upgrade for the ECW arena.
One more thing. When it comes to ECW, you said you watched a little bit, but was that all like on the tail end of it? Or did you ever see ECW? When did you first get exposed to ECW?
I first got exposed to ECW probably in 2001, 2002, right as they were closing.
Yeah, you were late in the game.
Yeah, really late in the game. However, when I say that I played catch-up, I mean, I really played catch up. I watched, you know, every big moment that company has had. I watched just hours and hours and hours of ECW. So I was a huge ECW fan. It just happened to be that I was a big ECW fan, like after the company had closed at that point.
Right. Yeah. It's funny you got exposed at that time because that was kind of like, this isn't the better stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Right. Exactly. When I got to, like I said, when I was playing catch-up at that point, like when I was first exposed to ECW, it was like they were finishing up on TNN. And then when I had really, really started watching it, it was like when the invasion angle was going on between, you know, the WWF, WCW, and ECW on Raw and stuff like that. But, yeah, huge fan.
I still love that ECW, with this image that we have of it in our mind, was once on a station called the Nashville Network, which is...
Right, exactly.
So good. So you're going to be facing Nakamura, like you said, who, you know, arguably is the best wrestler on the planet. So, I mean, what went through your mind when you found out that this was going to be the match? You were going to be the guy that got to face him on the show.
Oh, man, I was so excited. Like, ever since Ring of Honor and New Japan's relationship kind of started, and I had my first really big match with a New Japan talent in Jushin Thunder Liger, back when we first had our first couple joint shows, he was a guy immediately I was like, oh man, I hope I get in the ring with him. And I'm actually so thankful that it's happened now, because the fans have kind of been given a chance to go, okay, we really hope we get Adam Cole versus Nakamura. And then it wasn't given to them, and it wasn't given to them, and it wasn't given to them until now, finally, it's happening. So we've given the fans a chance to kind of continue to fantasize about the idea of this match happening, and now it's finally happening. So again, I'm very excited. I got the chance to go over for New Japan Pro Wrestling once, and then I got hurt, and now I'm coming back. So I really think that this match will be a catalyst for me coming back to New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's certainly a match, like I said, that I'm going to give my all. I always give my all in every single match, but Philadelphia and Nakamura is just a little bit more special. So it's definitely going to be something for the fans to see. I'm just excited as they are. I can't wait.
Is there going to be anything special when it comes to the ring entrance, considering what Nakamura does?
No, right, of course. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm sure there are going to be things that I do and things that Nakamura does that we normally don't do. This will definitely have a big match feel to it. It'll be something special, and the fans in Philadelphia are going to be in for a treat.
Can you come out to Billie Jean or something like that for Michael Jackson?
See, if it wasn't for copyright issues, I would be all for this.
Dude, you moonwalking, blasting a little, you know, all that?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, I know. I would be down in a heartbeat. So now all we have to do is convince Ring of Honor management to allow me to do so.
What's it like, too, going into a weekend where it's such a big weekend for Ring of Honor? There's going to be so many different wrestling fans. They're going to be in the area for these shows. And you've got two huge matches, you know, on back-to-back nights. I mean, what do you have to do to mentally prepare yourself so you're not just, you know, I'm geared up for the one match, but I got to make sure I've still got plenty left in the tank for the following night?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, especially for a weekend like this for me, with wrestling Nakamura the first night and then wrestling, you know, Christopher Daniels the next night. This has pretty much been what I have been looking forward to since I've come back from injury. You know, I've wanted a really big weekend. I've wanted a chance to show to everybody that I'm fully back, I'm fully ready, I'm fully ready to challenge for the Ring of Honor World Championship again. So for me, it's so weird. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, I would have been really nervous and really anxious and thinking, okay, what do I have to do to mentally prepare? But I've been mentally ready for this literally since I went under the knife for surgery. So I'm more excited, I think, than anything. I mean, just getting the chance to wrestle these two world-class guys and show the fans that are coming out in the thousands at this point that it's going to be a really exciting time. So really, like I said, I'm so amped. I can't wait. I wish the matches were this weekend.
I like your mentality because it sounds like you've got a chip on your shoulder. Like, watch what I could do. Watch what I'm going to do.
A little bit, yeah. And it's funny, too, because I don't have any reason to other than the pressure that I put on myself. And that's really what it comes down to. Like I said, I can't thank the fans enough for how supportive they have been of everything that I've done. You know, they tell me when I do something that they don't like, and they tell me when I do something that they do like. But generally speaking, I have a lot of people who have my back, whether that be Ring of Honor management or the fans. So for me, this pressure is literally created all for me mentally, because I take a lot of pride in what I do, and me coming back and having just a killer weekend is really, really important to me. So I almost create this little chip on my shoulder because I feel like that's when you perform the best. When you become too comfortable and you think you've got it all figured out, that's when you stop growing. But when you have that little bit of an edge, like you have something to prove, that's when your best performances come out. So that's what I've certainly created mentally for me for that weekend.
You know, we talk about dream matches. A lot of fans, they look at this, and especially when it comes to the match on that Friday between yourself and Nakamura. Is that something that, you know, as a wrestler that you think about going, man, here's like my dream matchups, or here's guys I would love to face, and here's how it possibly could happen? Is that something that ever goes through your mind?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. But at the same time, that's like the 1% of my mindset. Like when I go into a wrestling match, I almost look at it like, okay, I'm going to work. I enjoy moments after they happen. Like when I wrestled Jushin Thunder Liger in a sold-out Hammerstein Ballroom on iPay-Per-View, defending the Ring of Honor World Championship against not a Japanese wrestling legend, a legend in professional wrestling. I didn't mentally really enjoy that moment until probably a couple days after it happened, because I very much have that. I'm going to work. I'm doing what I'm meant to do. I'm going to do this to the best of my ability going into it, because at least this is for me. I know this isn't the case for everybody, but I never really enjoy the moment as it's happening until after it happens, because to me, that's where the real pressure comes from. When you start thinking like, okay, this is what I've dreamed of, or wow, this is a really big match, and wow, a lot of people are really paying attention to this. That's where the pressure can beat you. At least that's when the pressure can beat me. So when I look at it completely like I said, just going to work and just being focused and doing this to the best I can and making sure that the people in the audience enjoy this as much as they can, that's when I'm at my best. I generally speaking really enjoy things kind of after they happen.
Well, how long does it take you to come down from a big match or even a big weekend like the one that you're having coming up here in just a couple of weeks?
Oh, man, I won't sleep Friday night. I won't sleep Saturday night. Sunday night, I will sleep 12 or 13 hours. that's always how I've been. Like, it's, you know, my sleep schedule, generally speaking, if I'm on the road, let's say on an average weekend, Thursday to Sunday night, it's like, you know, 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night. Just because the adrenaline is just so high. And then during the week, that's when, you know, I think it's been said before that you can't catch up on sleep. That's bull crap. Because I catch up on sleep all the time. So, I mean, it's just it's so crazy to go and perform in front of that many people against someone that you admire so much with a job that you care about so much and expect to go back to the hotel room and just go to sleep. So it's very, very hard for me. It's almost like a bipolar disorder. You know, it's like during the week, I'm outside mowing the grass, getting groceries, cleaning the house, you know, watching television, and then knowing that in 2 days you're going to be wrestling in front of 2,000 people on pay-per-view in front of, you know, a bunch of people. It's a crazy lifestyle.
Well, there's no more worrying about, you know, mowing the grass anymore. You got your little brother there with you, so that's his
right.
job.
Exactly. I'll tell him, hey, did you wrestle Nakamura this weekend? Go cut the grass.
Exactly. So what was your reaction when you found out that NXT was running the same night in the same city as the big Ring of Honor show, Field of Honor?
I thought it was great. Like, because a lot of people have brought this question up where they're like, oh, do you feel that NXT is competition? Do you think NXT is specifically paying attention to Ring of Honor? Do you think WWE is trying to run Ring of Honor out of business? Like, just crazy questions like that. For me, I think the more that the NXT and Ring of Honor, quote-unquote, competition goes on, I think the better it is for the both of us, mainly because it's really exciting for wrestling fans to create, whether it's warranted or not, a genuine competition amongst two companies. So the fact that NXT decided to run the same night as our show in Brooklyn, I think is fantastic. I think it's great because the more competition that we have for ourselves, the better the products become. I certainly don't think that WWE is sitting there and going, okay, we really got to try to run Ring of Honor out of business. I think they're trying to have great wrestling shows. And, of course, they're paying attention to things that Ring of Honor is doing because Ring of Honor is a successful brand.
Right.
But I don't think that Ring of Honor will be hurt whatsoever by the things that NXT has done, mainly because the more that they acknowledge our existence, the better off that we will do, because Ring of Honor will forever, whether it's NXT or Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, will be viewed as the underdog. And people always like to root for the underdog. So I think, like I said, the more attention that is paid to us, I think the better. And it's just going to create really cool atmospheres because the NXT show is fantastic. I stand by the fact that our show is fantastic. So in my mind, I think the number one winners are the fans in this one.
You know, I know there's competition between the two, and from a standpoint of trying to bring fans in, and I know it's not realistic, but as a fan sitting from my perspective, I just wish the shows didn't have to go head-to-head. And just imagine the atmosphere of being able to say, I went to one, and now, after a couple hours, I can go to the other one as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that would be great. That would be totally, totally awesome. But at the same time, too, because there's not a, I guess you could call it, like, working relationship between the two companies, you know, I think they're not playing it off that way. However, you're 100% right. You know, that would be just fantastic. If the fans had the chance to go to our event and the fans had the chance to go to NXT's event all in one night, that would be great. But that's a perfect world we're trying to create.
So. Yeah. What the funny thing would be, whoever had the first show, like everybody from that show, like all the boys, would probably be trying to get in as well to go see the other one too, which would be great.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I love so much about the WrestleCon when they had it with WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, we would do the WrestleMania. I remember it was New Orleans. I went and I did the Ring of Honor show in the afternoon, and then I went to Gabe Sapolsky's Evolve show later that night just because I'm in town. I want to watch wrestling. I want to see my friends. And it's just fun. Yeah, it was fun for me, so I can only imagine how it was for the fans.
Well, I remember going to WrestleMania weekend. I was at a Ring of Honor show, and I happened to be just outside the building early on in the show for whatever reason, and a minivan pulled up, and a guy in a hoodie popped out, and I noticed it's Daniel Bryan. It's Bryan Danielson. And he was like, shh,
right.
Keep it quiet, you know? He was like, I got to go see the Ring of Honor show, you know? And, I mean, hell, I've seen Darren Young at Ring of Honor shows, you know, for WrestleMania
right.
weekend. So everybody wants to, you know, they want to see good wrestling. I mean, they're wrestling fans as well, which you totally appreciate, so.
Sure.
So what's on the docket for you for your downtime leading up to the big weekend?
Well, a lot of training, for sure. As far as, you know, I think I had mentioned me moving into this new place. That's pretty much all set in stone. That's all set. But, yeah, for me, it's a lot of training, a lot of recovery time, a lot of resting. I'm just enjoying the chance to kind of have a little bit of downtime before stuff really starts getting crazy again. So I'm not someone who is really active in the sense of I really enjoy being a loner, kind of. It's pretty crazy. Like I'll be really busy that Thursday to Sunday, and then when I come home, there's a point in time where I wake up Monday morning and no one's in the house, and I really enjoy just reflecting and relaxing and getting focused for my day of training or my day of preparation or whatever that is, in between the crazy schedule of being a pro wrestler. So a lot of it will be very similar to that. You know, like I said, a lot of training, a lot of resting, a lot of recovering, and a lot of enjoying time being at home.
Do you ever research trying to find the cheat code so you can beat your brother at video games?
You know, I'd considered that, but I have too much pride, Brian. I have way too much pride, so I have to beat him straight up.
No.
I'm just going to continue to focus.
I tacked it up to the wrestling business saying, you know what, we win at all costs, okay, buddy? Okay, right. This is the way that this goes down.
Exactly.
Hey, so no apartment now. Does that mean no pool anymore?
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't have a pool in the last one.
Oh.
Right? And we don't have a pool here, but I'm thinking of installing a little kiddie pool in the backyard, maybe that I can just enjoy.
Oh, perfect.
By myself in the evening with maybe an adult beverage. I'm not too sure. But maybe we'll figure that one out since I'm still pretty fresh in this new place.
Hey, man, that sounds like it would work. You know, everybody can just gather around a little pool, you know. You have that, and then you put the little you have the little fire nearby, and just you go chill out, you know, watch your WWE Network and, you know, catch up on your Ring of Honor, you know, whatever you need to do.
Yeah, the life of Adam Cole.
Exactly. So you got the TV out there. You got a little Destination America coming up, you know, on a Wednesday night. Uh-huh. So it all works out, you know. So
Absolutely.
Well, Adam, I always appreciate the time, man. You're one of the best guys in the business, not only in the ring, but out. I totally appreciate it. And everybody can check out the big shows coming up here for Ring of Honor. Friday, August 21st, the Aftershock Tour up in Philadelphia. You'll be taking on Nakamura. And then the following night, Field of Honor in Brooklyn, yourself against Christopher Daniels. It's going to be some outstanding shows and some great matches there. So always appreciate the time, Adam.
Oh, thanks so much.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.